Let's pray before we read, before we listen to the Word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you are gracious. Thank you, Lord, because you gathered us together in your name. We gather, Lord God, to honor the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit will be with us today as we listen to your Word. May you speak to us, to our hearts, and to our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace is a theme that is very, very dear to us Christians. It is a concept. It is a principle, it is a word that is a catchword. I mean, it's just uttered, sometimes just taken for granted. Grace, 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 grace. We even have a grace student here. So I have a sister who's grace. But grace, the concept of grace is very, very important to Christians. The Apostle Paul wrote his epistles, 13 epistles, always beginning with a greeting of grace, grace and peace to you. Some of his letters he ended as well with grace, charis, grace to you, peace to you. Grace, grace, grace. I hope you're not tired of hearing about grace, because this morning we're going to hear about grace again. The best passage, I think, that demonstrates what grace is Romans 5, 6 to 8. And this passage does not even mention the word grace. Paul writes, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is grace. Grace given even before we ask for it. We sang this morning the song Amazing Grace, and that song is sung in many different versions. I've played it in many different genres. If you look at YouTube, there are funny ways of singing it. There are terrible ways of singing it. There are so complicated ways of singing it. It was written a long time ago. It was revived by Chris Tomlin, the way we sang this morning. People sing it in funerals, in worship services, everywhere. Even non-Christians sing it. Remember in the September 11 event? What year was that? I can't even remember. All the broadcasts are singing Amazing Grace. It is so popular that grace is promoted everywhere. Grace, next slide, basically means unmerited favor or undeserved favor. It is something that we gain freely. It is a loving gift, the gift of love bestowed by God upon a person or somebody without any prior condition, without any required merit. It is just given freely. That is the radicality of grace. Because when it is given freely, it means that, next slide, it contradicts our human sense of equality and justice. We humans think in terms of equal exchange. We like the concept of justice. We like the concept of equality, egalitarianism. But grace is not that. In fact, grace runs contradictory or opposite to what we think as justice, as equality. Grace is given undeservedly. Grace is given unreservedly. Grace is given freely. The conflict between the human mind and the mind of God is displayed vividly in the passage that was just read, Matthew chapter 20, 1 to 15. The story tells us about a landowner. Let's make the parable more modern. Dr. Cunningham went out. I'm doing this without permission, so if I get sacked afterwards, it's my fault. Okay, Dr. Cunningham went around the school looking for workers, swap workers. He found some at 9 a.m., some 12, some 1, some at 4. Maybe to clean this hall. Let's just say, let's clean this hall. At 5 p.m., he called the people, the students who came in at 4 p.m., and gave them 400 pesos. 400 pesos, just about right, 8 8 times 50, that's 400. Okay, 400 pesos. And those who worked earlier are therefore anticipating that they would get more. That's just right. It's our human mind. Equality, justice. To the student's surprise, one by one, the people called at 12 also received 400 pesos. The one who worked at 9 a.m. received the same amount, 400 pesos. And so, humanly speaking, it is natural that you will grumble. You will say, that's unfair. That's just not right. That's the word. It's just not right. Our human concept of what is right and what is not right may not be the right way of thinking about right and wrong with God. The response of Dr. Cunningham is simple. Am I not being generous to the ones who came in late? Don't I have the right, the privilege to give what I own to anybody? Grace is not human. Grace is not something that we can fully comprehend and appreciate as human beings. Now here comes the thing. My sermon is entitled Costly Grace. If grace is free, how is it costly? We have heard this term before, this phrase before, costly grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and all these guys that we have heard, costly grace, something that we holiness people like to emphasize about. Grace is not cheap. Grace is costly. But how is something free also costly? That's the question. Now here's my response. A two-point response. Because grace is free, it costs nothing. But because it costs nothing, it costs everything. I'm not trying to pull your legs here. There is something about grace that we often neglect. There is something about grace that we don't like to look at. Grace is costly because it costs nothing. But because it costs nothing, it costs everything. How can that be? The next slide says that grace asks us to give up our futile attempts to gain God's favor. Grace is free. It is given to us undeservedly. Grace asks us to stop thinking that we can bribe God with our prayers, with our good works, with our fastings, with our praises, with our services. It asks us to abandon a false sense of assurance that because I did this, God would do this in return. Grace calls us to abandon a view of God that we can buy, that we can rent, that we can please, and then we can coerce to give us what we want. Matthew chapter 5 says, God sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. We don't like that, right? We don't like that. Just as we don't like the one who served for only 3 years to have the same large mansion as we have in heaven when we served 50 years, 40 years. But that is the radicality of grace. Also, grace attacks the mindset that we have equal power with God in terms of shaping our lives. The next slide says that grace tells us that our good works and righteous acts in front of God are nothing but filthy rags. We don't like to hear that, right? Our good works, according to Isaiah, are nothing but filthy rags. We are accustomed to think and to cling to our good works and say that because we are doing this, we will be graced, we will be blessed. But grace tells us that our good works mean nothing. It is costly because it costs us what we treasure the most as Christians. Because grace is free, it costs us what are very dear to us. Our own achievements, years of service, our so-called sacrifices. Because these things, at the end of the day, can become avenues to be proud. This can become avenues for us to assert ourselves and tell God, I have served you. Why is this happening to me? Accepting grace is difficult and easy. It is easy because it is free. And yet it is so difficult because its absolute freeness devalues human-made moral and religious money. We say, this coin is 5 peso religious coin. If I do this, if I do this work, I can give this to God and He will give me what I ask for. No, not really. Next point. Grace, therefore, because it costs nothing, costs everything, because grace costs us ourselves. It is human nature to want to control our future, to want to control ourselves, to want to control our destiny. We want to be in charge. We want to be involved in our lives. We want to take the wheel. Maybe not completely, but at least we want our hand to be in the wheel. We don't want God to be the only one driving our life. We want to be a part of the equation. We want ourselves somewhere there. We want to be partners. We want to be co-workers. We want to be somewhere there. Maybe not as equal. Sometimes as equal. But at least somewhere there. A low-ranking officer, but still there. With our voices heard. With our opinions considered. With our actions. At least taking a part of what is happening to us. This poem by William Ernest Henley, Invictus. Maybe you've seen the movie Invictus. If you like it, then this is where the title of the movie comes from. It's a poem by Henley, and you are very familiar with these words. I'm very sure you're familiar with these words. These are just 2 lines of the several stanzas. I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Grace says, eh. Grace says, no way. Grace calls us to say, no. I am not the master of my fate. I am not the captain of my soul. And that is difficult because we want to be in charge. We want to be involved in the process. Grace is costly because it takes away from under our feet the very thing which we think is God's greatest gift to us, free will. We cherish our free will. We want freedom. We want the idea that we can be in charge. We can be in control. We want the idea that we have a choice. That our choices are the important ones that leads our destiny. That lead our destiny. But grace lays an axe at the very root of that possession. Free will. The free will that is given to us is a gift that must be given back. Did you get the point there? The gift that we treasure so much, free will, is a gift that we are asked to give up. And that's painful. That's difficult. Grace calls, next point, for a radical self-renunciation. Grace calls us to displace ourselves, to put Christ at the center, to put God at the center. Grace disturbs our human self-centeredness. For in Christ, God accomplished what we want to accomplish for ourselves. Grace exposes the hollowness, the shallowness of the Tower of Babel that we are trying to erect to reach God, to be saved from punishment, to ascertain that we go to heaven. etc., etc. Grace is costly because it asks us to abandon our self-reliance and logic. Grace is costly because it asks us to stop looking at what we can do and focus on what God has done for us and what God will be doing for us. It is costly because it asks us to consider our valued achievements, our diplomas that we proudly hang on our offices, our years of service that we want the person introducing us to mention. It asks us to consider all these things rubbish, filthy rags, nothing. Grace is costly because it asks us to be childlike, not to think like an adult, not to think as someone mature. It asks us to be reliant on God, to be dependent on God, to trust on God, devoid of any sort of sophistication or pretentious self-understandings that we do this and God does that. He asks us, grace asks us to not rely on our logic, to make decisions based on a childlike faith, trust, obedience, and that is painful. Very, very difficult for people who are taking master degrees, who understand more, who know more. That is difficult. Grace is costly because it costs nothing. But because it costs nothing, it costs everything. This is a holiness message, but coming from a different route. Do we really believe in grace? Are we Protestants that claim we are saved by grace through faith? Or are we only theologians of grace, but in practice are legalists, but in practice are self-willed human beings wanting to assert ourselves before God? We're going to sing the song in response, Take My Life and Let It Be. Consecrated Lord to Thee, take my moments, take my days, take my will, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it shall be your throne. Take my love, take my self, take all of me. I surrender all, I give all, because I believe that grace covers all.